I'm really pleased to see the stats. So often, you know, anytime we deal with Lunenburg Queens, we don't really understand the stats between the two. So it's nice to see some numbers there, and that Queens County students are certainly, you know, pulling their weight there. So, but one of the things I do have a comment about is the online. I know that that has, I have a friend in it right now that is doing amazing, who wouldn't have had that opportunity had that not been available. Is that something that you're really promoting more of as we go forward, or is it you're happy with the stats that you have?
Online has been an interesting thought. It's really taken off on its own, and I think that speaks to the need that many of our citizens have to access learning when they don't have the ability or the time to commit to going to the campus. That a lot of resources being driven into, we call it eCampus for our online offerings, and we see that growing. It's been growing exponentially over the last couple of years, but it's been growing at a rate that causes us to really scratch our heads sometimes and try to get out of our own way and make it as seamless as possible. So we're expending a lot of thought and a lot of energy in that. So it's, I think we don't necessarily promote it at a campus level, but that's done centrally through our eCampus offerings and stuff. We do have individuals at our campus that provide support to some of those learners. So in our region, if they have any questions, there's contact information or email or however they want to get in contact with those resources.
Do they have the option to go back and forth?
They do. So we have students who are on the ground and in business, school of business, for instance. There might be an offering of a course that they see online, but we are unable to offer on the campus, so they can easily jet over and take that while still doing their online their campus courses as well. Yeah. I just want to point out, Councillor, that you know, those numbers are for Lunenburg campus. Let's not forget Queen Shelburne. We have students going that way as well, and some of the programming that Queen citizens would take advantage of might be at other campuses because we don't offer them. So I'm very confident. I don't have any numbers to back this up, but I'm very confident that those numbers are far larger when we think about all of the programming mix that we have across the province. Yeah.
Okay. You're welcome. I guess I did have a question.
Yes. Councilor Farrell kind of a question. Statement. My son right now is up in Sydney at Marconi Therapeutic Recreation.
Okay.
And something like that, I think, would be something, because he had looked at some things like your occupational therapy and physiotherapy assistant, but
yes,
that's limited to what where the fields, where they, and he's going to be coming out, and he's got all kinds of opportunities to work, because the nursing homes are needing those, as such as, because what we're seeing is that used to be the nurses and such as would go, when they were going into the retirement stage of life, to go down and be able to do these things. But the nurses aren't available anymore, that have to be doing, you know, they can't be in the retirement stage, they're either in or out.
That's right.
And so it would be nice to have something like that a little closer, just for, because I think there's going to be a big need for that in the future.
Excellent example of the scope of practice in the healthcare sector is really changing, and what was one time at a certain level or within that job responsibilities of a nurse or someone else is now bleeding into other. So we're seeing a lot of uptake in some of our programs to go into long-term care facilities, go into health sector jobs like your son, like our OTA PTA, and that was our attempt through consultation with industry to provide support to various organizations and sectors within healthcare to provide that kind of support. Some programs we have what we call destination programs. And what do I mean by that? Well, that's an offering at only one campus. So we have a heritage carpentry program. That's a destination program. We have another program called diesel repair, industrial, and marine, which is a destination program because we only offer it at one location. I'm not sure about the program that your son is in Marconi. Many times we try to offer it in two ends of the province, so there is a little bit of reach, but we also want to be aware of employment opportunities, clinical setting opportunities, so they can actually go out and practice their skills before they graduate. So
yes.
there are a couple factors that we're trying to balance.
Mm-hmm.
OTA, PTA, I'll just stick with that very quickly, is also offered in Cumberland campus.
Yes.
And we're geographically far enough that we're not going to be stepping on one another and trying to provide those opportunities for our students. So excellent example. Thank you for bringing that up.
Any other questions? I just have one question myself.
Yes.
When you talk about one of the identified needs with the community or with Queens County or a certain
mm-hmm.
area, and what are the in-demand skills,
mm-hmm.
what have you identified for Queens County?
Certainly health programming is huge. You know, CCA, as we've already talked about, practical nursing, and I'm getting a sense that the ground shifts a little bit within the healthcare sector, and that while practical nursing program or a graduate is not a priority right now, that's going to change within a year or two. Through conversations, skilled trades is always there's always a deficiency there. Talking with our apprenticeship colleagues, having opportunities for our apprentices to get to journeyman status or get their red seal is problematic as well. So those are a couple of the areas that are very prominent issues within Queens County, be it North Queens, South Queens, and all points in between.
Now, some time ago you also had a satellite NSCC here in
yes.
Liverpool.
Yeah.
Was that to meet a specific need, or is that something you consider in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question, Deputy Mayor. Back when we did that program, that was it was twofold. One, it was to test the waters to see what the uptake could be, and I think that was the last time, Councillor, that I was here doing the presentation, to test the waters to see what type of uptake would be for various types of programming. So we've concentrated on adult learning, so getting citizens to get their adult high school equivalency, and then we also did some business programming. There was not a huge uptake, and there's a couple reasons. Could be maybe not the right programming. It's very difficult to bring trades programming when you don't have the resource and you don't have the facility, because it's a huge outlay of cost. So certainly that's always on the table, as I had said, with other programs. But that incident back then, we ran the two programs and we had graduates. I know that one of the business students, I think we had five business students, one of them left the program because she was able to find gainful employment at that time, which was pretty important for her. So it was a one-off. It wasn't necessarily the plan to have a long-term, because we didn't have the resources available to do a lot of various programming. A lot of this programming was classroom-oriented with industry partner support to get the students out into industry to get some experience. Anything with trades, it's a different type of situation that becomes cost prohibitive sometimes if we don't have the right location with the right industry partner. It could be done with an industry partner, but we need to be tightly aligned and coordinated in our efforts. Yeah.
Because every year it will come about in the spring, and we have a huge gap in filling our service industry here in Queens County.
Yes, yes.
And is there any way to address that through NSCC? I know you have the tourism, hospitality and tourism program.
Yeah.
But there's a huge gap finding it, and it's because it's seasonal as well, but to service that industry.
Yeah, so quick story about that program. So we reintroduced tourism hospitality just this year.
Okay.
Based upon industry need. And so through our conversations locally and provincially, huge need. So we're trying to help our industry partners fill that gap. Councillor Fisk, to your conversation about the culinary program, we've actually made changes to our culinary program because of industry consultation and need. Previously it was a two-year program, a two-year diploma program. We're changing it to a one-year certificate. And the rationale behind that is, based on industry feedback, a student has the foundational skills that he or she needs to go into a kitchen to be a productive participant employee, the specific kitchen, restaurant, you know, resort will then, because they do it anyway, are then teaching them how they operate. So there's some operational things that happen. So through our consultation with some industry, with the, you know, tie-ins, the provincial organization, the decision was made to streamline, get as many grads out into industry as quickly as possible. And industry said, great, we'll take them, we're gonna mold them the way that we need them to be in our organization. And they're very pleased with that decision. So
It's like you're saying they're getting their experience on the job type thing and with the training right there and know what that business.
Right.
They'll know exactly what that business wants.
So in culinary arts right now, this is our second year group that's will graduate in June. When they started their program, they would do their first year of study. They would go away and go into industry, do their work experience or co-op between April and October. After Labor Day, after Thanksgiving weekend, they would come back to us. The difference, the transformation of the learner who started in September, October, and then went to, right through the end of the first year where they could barely hold a knife because they were shaking and weren't very quick, you know, they were deliberate. They go away for 4 months, 3 months in industry, and they come back, it's a new person. You know, they are, you know, they're having a conversation with you, and they're doing some amazing stuff. They really could have transitioned into industry. We do lose, if we have lost in the past a few people because they were ready. And so there was really, it was a good conversation to have. Yeah.
Councilman
Clark,
do you have another question? No. Okay, anybody, any other questions? That's it, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. My pleasure.
I asked Dave and Megan to come over for the meeting today. If I can ask them to come over and have a seat over here for a minute. I want to have a little chat for a second.
It's not on the agenda.
You
do
like that.
So don't come near him.
I do.
Yeah.
That's why I asked.
Oh, I see. That was your note. Right.
So the past couple weeks, we've been dealing with the World Junior Curling Championship. And so there's a lot of publicity about it. There's a lot of preparation things for it. There's a lot of comments made publicly about the great work the volunteers did. Great work that the Championship Hope Society did on the project, but I want to share a few stories from what happened and with the event with Megan and Dave. And so we often take our staff for granted, and we often, as civil servants, we're expected to come to work and do our jobs every day, but sometimes people go way above and beyond, and that's the case the last few weeks for Megan and Dave. So on the ice preparation stuff, Dave's our operation manager at Queen's Place, looks after all the ice stuff, and making curling ice, I expect, is very different than making arena ice.
Yeah.
And so they brought in an expert from Ottawa who to look after the curling ice. They understand, they come in and said, give us access to your computers and we're gonna run the place. And Dave said, no, you're not gonna run the place. This is our operation, our facility, our community, and we're gonna look after it. And so, so John came from Ottawa, and some of you don't know him as John, you know him as Pebbles or Cupcake.
That's a good name.
And so we've already got lots of accolades from John about the cooperation and the great work that Dave and his team did at Queen's Place to make the ice suitable, make the ice and the event go great. And so Dave gets text messages or stuff, but you don't hear about that because he's a very modest person. But I want you all to be aware today that the work that they did didn't go unnoticed from the people from Curling Canada, from around the world. And so simple things like making sure the glycol is in all parts of the ice, which gives you the temperature for the ice, and so which is useful for us for hockey, but it's also useful for Dave to know. So by Dave staying involved, he learned some things, I think, from that part of it. And the other part of it is things, just the temperature of the ice and the levelness of the ice. So you would think the ice is level, But just the way they came in with all their equipment and their monitors and things certainly helped. I think it helped Dave as well understand that the ice was very level and the temperature was excellent, and the modules and things that we operate where the compressor and everything worked excellent there. And so even trying to control the room temperature in the arena affects the ice quality. And so that's Dave and his crew and his staff to make sure that all took place and it worked well. And so I expect you didn't hear any complaints about ice quality. You might have a few complaints about the air conditioning or the air conditioning in there, but that's to control the temperature of the building and to control the temperature of the ice for those things that went on. And so even before the event started, between Dave and Megan, they were cleaning the building, painting the building, taking the marks off the walls, the buildings, everywhere, the walking track, to make sure that the building looked brand new for the world that was here before us. And so even the sense of, I'll talk about the internet and stuff with Megan in a minute, but even when we put the internet in place, the equipment didn't come on time, so Dave had to reschedule his people. The equipment wasn't right, so Dave had to reschedule his equipment, had to work with the contractors, had to work with World Curling and all those types of people to manage this on a regular basis. And so Dave didn't get home very often the last couple of weeks. And Dave has a family like everybody else. And even as of the other day, everybody left on Saturday night. He was there first thing Sunday morning for several hours, working on the ice, getting rid of the logos. Then he was back probably 4 to 12 again, because he had another crew come in for another shift. He was probably there the whole time as well. And then he's back there all day again yesterday, trying to get the ice ready for today, to put hockey back in that facility again today for users, putting the glass in place. And so it probably took 5-6 days to set up. And Dave and his crew, after everybody left, now have probably 2-2.5 days to put it all in place after it took 5 days to set it up. And then the other part of this whole operation was the internet. And so, councilors, you're aware, we approved internet funding of about $75,000. We put all that in place. And Megan started out not knowing a lot about internet, probably, other than like the rest of us access it. Now she can probably hack into your home computer today because she knows enough about the internet to find out exactly what you're up to all the time. But it was more than just internet. It was, we didn't just buy service from Bell. We had to project manage that. So we had to make sure we had the electricians there to set it up. We had to manage all that work that was being taking place. There was a meeting pretty well every day with Bell. And we had to manage Bell in many cases too, or we didn't have to, but Megan had to manage Bell in many cases to make sure the things were in place. It wasn't an easy process. And I know when the World Curling Federation first came in the door, probably 4 or 5 days before the event, they said, "This is terrible. This event isn't going to take place. Your internet's the worst." And then Megan had a chat with them, and a couple hours later or a day later, it was the most wonderful thing in the world, and it was unlike any internet service they've ever had at a world event before. But it took a lot of time and effort, even troubleshooting issues with private companies that were in there and their internet didn't work. It was our fault, but they figured out it wasn't our fault, it was their fault. And even the World Curling Society, or the host society, had other issues going on. And it was always the internet, but it wasn't. It was our internet worked seamlessly there. And so if you watch any of the live streaming, my understanding is last year in Scotland, they really didn't have live streaming, didn't really have internet. But this year they had the best internet they've ever had. And that goes back to the work that Megan put into making sure that when we worked with Bell, good wasn't good enough. It had to be the best there was available to make sure it worked seamlessly and there weren't any issues. And so Megan has a young family as well. And so she hasn't probably been home for the last couple weeks. And the same thing, on everybody left on Saturday, she was there on Sunday morning, making sure the place was clean, making sure it was ready to go again for hockey. We often talk about working in silos and working differently, different departments. Dave works in essentially engineering and works department. Megan works in recreation. But these two people work better together than anybody else we probably have in our whole organization. They make things work. And during the event, you probably didn't use, everything went excellent, I think, from all the time I was there. You probably didn't see any issues, but these two probably dealt with 100 problems. And they didn't say, "It's not our problem, somebody else has to deal with it." Even when it wasn't our problem, they went above and beyond and fixed the problem. They didn't look for excuses to say it's not our jurisdiction or it's not the municipality's issue. They dealt with it. And they made sure it worked, so you didn't see anything. All the way down to buying $1,000 in extension cords, because the Curling Association didn't have any extension cords, but they had cameras and people trying to hook in everywhere, but there weren't any extension cords. So, but they didn't say, "That's, we don't have any budget for that. they went and did it, so the event went off without a hitch. And so there's lots of other things, and they have great staff that supported them. So it's not just the two of them that we're highlighting, but even Dave, when we put in the internet, we had to put access points in, and you may have seen them in the arena for the Wi-Fi or whatever. But the brackets, that's it. They weren't the right ones we needed. So his co-worker, Paul Daphne, at home in the evenings, manufactured them on his own at his own time and his own cost, I think. But that's the type of people we have there that went above and beyond and never questioned it once. They knew that they had to get it done to make this event go off, and they went above and beyond. And so I heard a few times about all the staff we have at Queen's Place. We have about 12 full-time equivalents, which is less than half what they have at the LCLC for the same facility. And so we don't have a lot of staff there. But they all put in 14, 16-hour days, and they didn't get Monday off or Sunday off or Tuesday off, because they've got to get it back up and running, and they've never complained once or said anything once. They know that they got to get back up for hockey and figure skating and stuff today, and they're working towards that. So I want to, today I just want the public to acknowledge the great work they've done, and I'm always a little worried about recognizing a couple staff and not everybody, because I know they would want to recognize their own staff as well, because it was a team effort over there this time. It wasn't just the two of them, but certainly their leadership allowed the things to take place that made it a success. So I just want to publicly recognize them today and tell them how proud I am of all the efforts, the time they put in to make it go so well, and want council to know and the public to know that we should be very proud of the staff we have over there and the effort they did and the time and effort they put in every day to work together. And as I said, they work better together than probably any of the other parts of the organization we have, even though they're two different departments. And so while you didn't see any issues over there, they can probably tell you both 100 or 200 they had to deal with to make it go well. So thank you both for all your efforts.
Thank you.
And I don't want to put them on the spot, but I'm sure if we want to take a break for a few minutes, they can share some stories or some stuff with you today or in future days, certain things they dealt with. But certainly we're all appreciative.
They can have some time off.
Tanya liked it.
Yeah. I wanted to say Tanya didn't want it at all.
She was on vacation.
Can I just make a comment? As a volunteer and as someone that was there pretty much every day of the event, I don't think I've ever been so proud of the effort that was put in by everyone in our staff. And Queen's Place certainly was state of the art. And I talked to the president, Kate, of the World Curling Federation, and I asked her, you know, how are things going? Just, you know, wondering what their comments were. She said, this is one of the best we've ever been to. And you think about going to a larger center, she said, our time here in a small community has been tremendous because you get the community feeling. You get people coming out to get the game in person. You know the seats were well attended and that sort of thing. And as far as the ice, I talked to John and I talked to Daryl, you know, who was for the Federation. And I said, now, like, what's your feeling here? Like, the community effort, that sort of thing. He said, you can have sales that are sold out. You can have all these different things happen. But he said, the ice is what the players are really concerned about. It's the game, that's why they're here. And he said, this is the best ice they've ever played on, and it's the efforts of everybody that all got together, you know, the local curling club, the people that they brought in, and the guidance that Dave and his staff put in, and the cooperation between John, who is the key ice person. I think he came from
Ottawa.
But it was amazing. I know, Chris, you were there every day pretty much doing your volunteer work and getting the feedback from the local, from our public. But I think it's something, as you say, we are very, very proud of, and I can't say enough. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Councilor
Fitz,
would you say something?
This is sort of directed to Dave. As you know, I was a timer there for the week and enjoyed every minute of it. Every morning that I was there, they would line up a laser beam level on a stone, and that would tell them how level the ice was. And there was never a time that I ever saw it just right on. So Dave, you deserve a lot of credit to keep the ice where he was. So.
Thank you.
It was great, great sheets of ice, and I enjoyed the event immensely. I was really proud to be a volunteer, and anyway, Megan also did a great job. And behind the scenes, as Chris was saying, there's a lot of things went on that we didn't know a thing about that was really rough around the edges sometimes, but both you and I know that. So anyway, everything went smooth. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
We'll just take a 10-minute recess, and then we'll come back to the last presentation.
Did she say about this?